Welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your host, Bailey Turner.
And Zach.
Welcome back, everyone. In today's episode, we'll be touching on the importance of rest days and why you should be incorporating at least one rest day in per week. And then also our current training split and a little cut update. So we are going to start with rest days. Why are they so important, Zach?
Well, for obvious reasons, if you're training hard, the adaptations have to take place at some point in time. And if you're training, you know, every day of the week, you're not giving your body ample time to, you know, produce new adaptations to the training stress itself. And, you know, I used to fall into this like camp too, and I noticed like, you know, certain individuals in like our challenges too, they've kind of stopped asking the question just because we like shoot it down, like because it's not a good idea. But, you know, there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. So like, obviously training is good and we want people to train hard, but we also don't want them, you know, pushing the envelope, you know, per se too often, and too much. So you have to, I personally do best on like 2 or even like 3 days of like just like completely being off. And like when I say being completely off, I mean just like from like lifting weights, like anything that we would like deem as like being high intensity. So like sprinting or like any like rigorous, like, you know, cardiovascular, like aerobic work too. But like walking and stuff like that is like not intense enough to like need like, you know, to produce like some sort of like adaptation. And it's just not fatiguing for most people, hopefully. So like I said, like 2 to 3 days off, like at a minimum, like at a minimum, like 2, if not 3, depending on how I'm feeling. And that's the other thing too, is I don't fall into this camp of being like, you know, Monday's this day, Tuesday's this day. Like I'll push stuff around if I'm not feeling it. And, you know, if you're training hard enough, you're going to want those rest days. Like it doesn't make them any easier because, you know, we're just like you guys where like the rest days can be hard, but like I look forward to them in a sense because one, I need them. Like, I feel like I need them. And two, I know I'm going to be better off because of it.
Mm-hmm. And you feel stronger, too, when you're taking adequate amount of rest days. Like, yeah. I feel way better when I'm taking 2 to 3 rest days a week. Honestly, I feel the best when I'm taking 3 days a week. I try to do a 4-day training split, which we'll touch on in a little bit. But I feel my best when I'm resting 3 full days because I'm able to push super hard on those 4 days that I am training. So I look forward to my rest days and I don't feel run down versus when I was doing like a 5 to 6 day training split, I was kind of half-assing it in my workouts and like the gym wasn't as fun. I was not pushing myself as hard. And then on that recovery day, I didn't even feel like I really fully got recovered. Yeah. So then I would get Sundays off and then Monday hit it again. And my tank would be like on empty.
Yeah. I think I might've touched on this in like another podcast, but there was a while there, like shortly after we moved here, I was training like 6 days a week and it was 6 days on, 1 off, like Sunday was the off day. And I noticed that like Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday were good sessions, but then by the time like Thursday, Friday, Saturday rolled around, I was so fatigued at that point that it was just like no longer productive. So like, you know, if I were to train 6 days, which I just don't like the way I feel on 6 days on, I would go like 3 on, 1 off, like break it up that way versus going 6 in a row, 1 off.
Exactly.
Like, and then just kind of let it just like rotate which day ends up being off. But I forget what I was going to say else.
Well, even last week when we went on vacation to Big Bear, California. And I remember you saying last week, cause we trained 4 days in a row. And I think, did you train 5 days in a row?
No.
Okay, 4 days in a row, and usually we do like, you know, 2 on, rest, 2 on, whatever. But Zach ended up training like 4 days or 5 days in a row.
I did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I was off Friday because that was the morning.
Oh, yeah. And we had to make sure that we were getting our workouts in, but then he felt so weak in his session. He's like, I wonder why, like, am I getting sick? And then he's like, oh, well, I didn't rest at all this week. So I've been going with minimal, you know, recovery.
Well, and that was in conjunction with having a head cold.
Yeah.
Which, thankfully it wasn't anything serious. But, yeah, so I was sick and I trained 4 days in a row and I was like looking at my logbook and like at this point in like my current cycle, I was like 3 or 4 weeks in and I was looking back and in my third or fourth week where I'm usually like starting to like ramp things up and like really see some like progress there, like in terms of just like being able to like progressively overload stuff. I'm usually like really strong at that point, but I was noticing that I was like doing worse than I was in like week one and week two, which is weird. But then I was like, okay, I've been training 4 days in a row and I just haven't given my body enough time to like recoup. So,
But then we both rested like 2 days in a row, felt really good on Sunday.
Had a
really
good training session. Had Friday off, Saturday off, and then trained Sunday, which was yesterday. Yeah. Because we're recording this on Monday, but I felt good on Monday and then I felt really good today on Tuesday morning. So
yeah. Well, and I think the biggest thing that I see, at least with fit,
I just want to add one more thing too. Like physiologically, like obviously, like the rest days are important because you need to give yourself some time to just like drop some fatigue in like order for like sessions to be productive. But I just want to say, like psychologically, like I love training and I look forward to training. But sometimes, like when you're like in this, just like I don't know, you're. I hate using the word the grind. When you're like in the grind, like sometimes you just need like a mental break from it for a bit. And then like I noticed that like during my rest days, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have trained today. But then by the time the afternoon, like evening rolls around, I'm like, okay, sweet, I get to train again tomorrow. And I'm like looking forward to it. So like psychologically, I feel like they're
just beneficial. You're going to the gym 6 days a week, like I feel like you never get that like, oh, I'm excited to go.
And the only way I could see like someone training like six or like... I'd hate to even say it, like seven days a week is like if the sessions were like super short, like one or two exercises, and it was more like a full body split or something of that sort. But even then, it's just like, don't you have better things to do than train every day, every week?
Yeah. I wanted to touch on the fact that, you know, when people are first starting their fitness journey and they're going pretty much from zero to 100 right away, oftentimes I see people like not wanting to take their rest days because they think that by doing, you know, six workouts a week and training so frequently that they're going to see progress faster.
Which in some instances, if you're like very new, yes, you will. Like, because like the newbie gains are certainly a thing. Like, I think we can all remember like when we started lifting, it felt like every week you could add 10 pounds to every movement and like do that for like, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, however long it was. But you know, you certainly do get from like that point A to point B in terms of like your newbie like phase, but you also, you know, you get there faster, but then you also have to understand that it's going to slow down a lot faster too in terms of that. But
then again, like they're just going to most likely overwhelm themselves with how frequently they're going and then fall off much quicker than someone who's going 4 days a week, which is a much more sustainable approach. And taking, you know, adequate rest days. You know, you might not see progress as fast as someone who's training 6 days a week, but they are probably a little run down. Not saying that they're overtraining, because overtraining is, you know, rarely touched on.
It's a lot harder to, you know, become overtrained, like actually like definitionally overtrained than people realize. But I think like part of it too, like with especially like newer lifters, is they feel like on their rest days that they're somehow losing like progress or like missing out 100%. On like gains, I guess, essentially.
And now that we've, you know, we've been training for 10 plus years and we know that, I mean, I personally, and you can say probably the same thing, I feel so much better on my rest days, and I also hit new lows after my rest days. So like if I'm in a cut and I'm working out and then I have a rest day, the next morning I'm almost always hitting a new low.
Yeah.
Because your body is able to rest, recover, rebuild, repair itself. And you're generally also not as hungry on your rest days. So sometimes people eat a little bit less typically. My calories stay the same regardless of training days or not. But my body like honestly thanks me for resting.
I don't know where I was reading it, but not this part, but like the training process itself is, and this word is kind of overused and just uses like a cop out for any like, you know, tribe that likes to like hang their hat on inflammation, but the training process itself is like inherently inflammatory. So I think that's like, you know, in part, and obviously I know like weight loss is multifactorial and it doesn't, you know, necessarily mean anything, but I think that's why sometimes, like you just said, like you experience like a new low, like the day after an off day, is because
like you're holding less water.
I hate that word, but like total body inflammation has a chance to come down. And I don't know where I saw this, but it was like it had to do with like supplementation with antioxidants post-workout, and it actually hindered your ability to build and grow new muscle. Like,
because inflammation is a good thing after a workout.
It's what triggers your body to, you know, increase like protein synthesis and build new muscle and like just like general hypertrophy and strength. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was kind of an interesting read.
It I forget
where I saw it, but.
Well, if you find it, maybe we can link it in the description. Yeah, so when you're starting your fitness journey and you are trying to figure out what kind of a training split you want and how many rest days you want, it's really important to know, you know, first what kind of a training split you want. If you're going to be training 4 or 5, hopefully not, but 6 days a week, that's up to you. If you want to do quicker, shorter sessions and you want to train 6 days a week, go for it, whatever. But we find the most benefit with our programming and with the challenges that we've done, a 4-day split is typically the best. Sometimes we'll add in an optional 5th day for people that want to, you know, maybe do some conditioning work. But having at least one full, if not 2 to 3 full rest days a week, is imperative for seeing results in the gym with your strength, muscle gain, and just feeling good, not feeling run down. So Zach, do you want to touch on your current training split and then I can go over mine?
Yeah, so right now we just crossed into the second half of our current challenge. Mm-hmm. And by this point, like by the time we release a challenge, I've already have like, you know, not tested it out per se to see if it was successful, but just like done all the movements to see if it like meshes well and it's cohesive for like a solid like training split. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm currently running a modified push-pull legs. And when I say modified, I just mean it's 5 days instead of like the traditionally thought of like 6 or like 3. 3 days, I don't like training 3 days a week because I do enjoy the training process. And even if there is like some benefit to training only 3 times a week, I do want to train more than that. So the way I'm running it is I'll go push, pull, legs, off, push, pull, off, legs, push, pull. So I'll just keep like revolving that where like every third week I only train like push, pull, legs once in that week. And then the other two, obviously I train twice. Mm-hmm. And I'm really enjoying it. Every week I'm beating, you know, the logbook per se. I like it because I can train. I notice like when I like start pressing too many times in a week, like, you know, I'm talking like traditionally like bench press, cable press, stuff like that, my shoulders get really beat up just because I've had like a lot of like shoulder issues in the past. But I've noticed with like keeping it to like 2 or 1 times per week and then like having like a dedicated like back day, it's like, I don't know, it's refreshing. It's a change of like pace, like from what I'm used to versus mm-hmm. just like an upper lower type thing. And yeah, like I said, I'm getting
stronger. You're just like toying around with the idea of trying new training splits because we're always trying to, you know, of course not come out with the same type of split every single time we launch a program. So Zach is kind of playing around with that, seeing if he likes it so that we can incorporate it into, you know, one of our future challenges.
Yeah, which I am enjoying it. And quite honestly, I'll probably run this for like a minimum of like 16 weeks, like mm-hmm. in this like current, like, you know, rendition of it, just because I feel like that's a good
amount
of time.
You've already like put on a good amount of strength in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, and I don't want to like make it seem like with every like it's ambitious to add like weight or reps every week, but some weeks you just it's just not going to be there.
Some weeks I'm weaker.
Yeah.
So like week 4 I was weaker because I got sick and I was not sleeping well and I was, you know, it was disappointing because my weights were way off than what they were week 3, but I got back into it and today I felt strong again. So my current training split is what I'm doing with the Summer Shred Challenge, which we launched in May. Our next challenge will launch in July, but it is a basically 2 upper 2 lower days a week.
And then the optional 5th, which is just like a full body day, right?
Full body day, which we give like a bunch of full body options in the guide based on the type of equipment that people have available to them. But I've just been sticking to the 4 days a week. I haven't been doing any additional conditioning. I just try to go for walks every day to get my steps in, but I haven't added really any, you know, cardio or anything. And I really love this guide. I think it's one of my favorites that we've put out. The workouts are effective. They're short, sweet, to the point. Like there's no fluff in them, which none of our workouts are usually ever fluff. We don't really like that kind of crap. But you're in there, you're doing what you need to do, and then you're out. Like, I can finish these workouts in 40, 45 minutes, which is great. I'm not on my phone sitting down, you know, scrolling on Instagram, which if you are, I'm calling you out right now. I know a lot of people sometimes will be like, my workouts are taking me like 75 minutes to 90 minutes. And it's like, okay, what are you sitting in on your phone in between sets and, you know, diddle-daddling? Or are you actually like keeping your rest times to, you know, a minimum and actually putting in the work when you're in the gym and not just diddle-daddling on your phone? Zach, why are you looking at me like that?
Because that was just
I used to be a diddle-daddler.
Diddle-daddler?
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be really bad.
And like, when we went to, like, a gym.
But I now... In, like, Rochester even, you used to be bad at it, too, because, like, I would, like... We'd get in there at the same time.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
Like, you'd do your, like,
well, I would respond to
incline walks.
I would respond to, like, DMs on my phone and stuff, and then I'd get carried away, and then I'd start scrolling, and then I'd walk for, like, 40 minutes, and then Zach was, like, already done training.
Yeah. Those used to be the days of, like, waiting for you. Like even when you said, like, we went to, like, public gyms, like, I would have yeah, to wait for you, like, forever, and it was just so annoying.
But now I'm done before you.
Yeah. Well, you I'm, get up I'm there good. A little bit before I do, too.
Yeah. I've been really good at just sticking to it and getting in and getting out. But I really like this training splits. Like I said, it's a summer shred guide that we put out in May. We're on week 5 now as we're making this podcast. By the time it releases next week, it'll be week 6. And I'm feeling so strong, which will kind of lead us into our cut update. We are about 5 weeks into our cut, or starting week 5, which I'm feeling amazing. I've lost about 7 to 8-ish pounds total. And I feel really good. My strength is improving. My calories are still high. Like, I'm eating about 2,300 calories a day, which is great. You want, the whole goal of, you know, cutting is to keep your calories as high as possible for as long as possible while you're still seeing progress and results. You don't want to slash your calories down to, yeah, you don't want to slash your calories down to, you know, 1600 calories, and then it's like, where do you go from there? You have to reverse diet out of that right away. So starting your calories high and making small adjustments down is the best way to go if you're trying to be in a calorie deficit. I haven't needed any adjustments with my macros yet. Still seeing great progress. Like I said, still feeling strong, increasing my weights in the gym. I was able to bench 135 by 5 last week. Or the week before I got sick, and then squat 225 by 5, which is pretty close to my pre-pregnancy weights, which is feels really good. So it's nice to see the scale come down and my weights still go up in the gym. I've been going for my daily walks every day, aiming for about 10,000 steps a day, drinking 120 ounces. Everything's been going great on my end. How's it been going on your end?
Yeah. I'm like 12 or 13 pounds down as of mm-hmm. this morning from my initial like weight, and I think like my biggest like
Zach's still eating a lot too.
Yeah, my biggest like non-scale victories are like when I look in the mirror, like I just notice like, you know, a lot more like
definition,
leanness, and like certain areas that I haven't seen, like, you know, definition like you said in a while. Some new like vascularity in my arms that I'm pretty pumped about, so mm-hmm. That, like, keeps you motivated to keep going, because I just want to get it to the point where it looks, like, alien-like. Perhaps. We'll see. Yeah, but at least in my calories are, you know, still pretty high. I think they were so high for a while when I wasn't tracking that I'm to the point where it feels like I'm actually, like, still, like, you know, I'm eating less, so I'm losing weight, obviously.
But you're not,
they're, like, high enough where it still feels like I'm almost, like, putting on, like, quality tissue yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing, but like when they're so high for so long and then you finally bring them down and you're still like,
well, your body's like, very like hyper responsive yeah. to, you know, the deficit.
Yeah, but you know, things in the gym are going obviously very well still. Like I said earlier, still beating like my logbook, adding reps and weights across the board for the most part. I do notice that the one lift that takes a big hit with like weight loss is just like a standard like barbell squat.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the one thing that just gets, and it might be an individual thing, but I noticed that like, I don't know, like my leverages get all messed up, but
I think
deadlift feels way better. Bench like feels, you know, about the same, still improving there. And then just like obviously like all my like accessory, like, you know, cable work, stuff like that feels good. Mm-hmm. Pull-ups are the one thing that feels
yeah.
way easier. Like when you lose weight, like duh, like imagine like putting like a you know, 10-15 pound dumbbell in your pocket at your current body weight and then trying to crank out some pull-ups, like obviously you're going to be way worse at them.
And push-ups too. Push-ups are easier, yeah, at least for me anyways. Like as soon as I start losing weight, push-ups are super easy. Just like walking around is easier. Like, yeah. I feel like my heart rate is not as high when I'm doing my walks outside.
Well, like one thing to think about too is like when you're carrying like a bunch of like, you know, non-lean tissue, like in terms of like body fat,
mm-hmm.
like what benefit really is it like providing to you in terms of just like gym performance or like athleticism? Because you can't flex fat. Like mm-hmm. it's not like, you know, pulling on your skeleton to, you know, move you around or like produce force. So, you know, I don't see like why it took me so long to like kind of like connect that dot and be like, quit being sloppy with your diet and clean things up. So
it's just that it's like that's the hardest part is just starting, honestly, because, you know, like I said in one of our other podcasts, we had the excuse of obviously we just had a baby, so things are much harder than they used to be. Like we were so, I feel like, not spoiled, but like we had no idea how much free time we had before having Marlo, and also how easy it was to like prepare our own meals.
Yeah.
Because now, obviously, sometimes we just have to make something quick or whatever. And it's gotten a lot better now that she's in a routine. But during that phase of life when we're just adjusting to a new baby, we had every excuse in the book not to start.
Well, and now we're to the point where, like, I am, at least I can't speak on your behalf. But when we went to California, we kind of obviously got a little off track on our diet. Like, nothing like, you know, gluttonous by any means. But
speak for yourself.
I said I would, like, compared to what I used to do, but, like, I
bought, you said,
like,
we got off our diet. I did not.
Okay.
You had a little candy fest a little bit one day.
One day. I meant more so, like, the Raising Cane's and stuff like that, which is just,
oh,
like,
I fit in my macros.
I fit in my macros, too, but I wasn't tracking that day, but I'm just saying. Yeah. I just noticed that I feel worse when I eat like that, and then, like, that day, the same day where I ate the candy, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to just, like, kind of get back on track, because, like, it's not appealing
in
to
the
me to
short,
eat like that anymore.
But, like, right away, you do it because it's, like, satisfying to, like, you know, eat whatever you're craving.
Like, I was hungry because, like, we didn't have, like, the ideal, like, kitchen setup where we were at. And it was just, like, easy to, like, be like, oh, I'm just going to eat this junk because it doesn't take any preparation.
Yeah. And then you get really hungry. You don't have, like, a meal. So then you just snack and snack and snack and you don't feel full at all.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're just snacking and feel like crap after 20 minutes of mindless snacking.
Yeah, so like I was saying, it just feels really, like, I know I'm in a good spot, like, in terms of, like, you know, doing this for the long haul, because I can't wait to get back on track when mm-hmm. I get off track. Like, it doesn't faze me, so it doesn't take
Doesn't feel hard. It feels like, okay, you're excited too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think the hardest part when you're trying to get into, you know, a cut or a calorie deficit and you're trying to lose some weight, the hardest part is just starting. Once you start and you stick to it, like, give yourself 2 solid weeks to actually stick to it and adhere to it consistently, and you'll start seeing progress and you won't want to stop because you'll feel so much better. Your digestion will be better, your energy, your strength, everything will be better. And you'll want to continue because you'll have that momentum of seeing the scale, you know, go down and feeling energized and feeling strong and feeling your digestion improve. You'll have all of those wins that you can, you know, be like, okay, well, I have all of these things that have gotten better since I started doing this, so why not keep going? So I think the hardest part for everyone is just starting, us included, and we're, you know, fitness, I hate saying professionals because that's, I just hate feeling like, I don't know, I don't like that term.
Putting yourself on a pedestal.
Yeah, I don't. But even for us as fitness trainers, it's hard for us to start too. So that's the hardest part, is getting over that hump and that the mental battle and like the excuses that you give yourself or put out for yourself, and just start. So if you need some help, I think a couple podcasts ago we did do an episode on like how to start your fitness journey and just like our top tips for starting your fitness journey. And I think we also have a blog on it too. So we'll put that in the description if you're interested. But like I said, the hardest part is just starting. Once you start and you gain some momentum, it's kind of like, I don't know, second nature.
Yeah. Like it really does become, and I hate saying this too, it's a lifestyle, bro. But it does like become like a part of like your day-to-day routine, and yeah. like anytime you're removed from it, it like makes you kind of like cringe, like, okay, I need to get back to like
yeah. where it was. Like, okay, it's fun to eat, you know, like candy and ice cream and all that stuff. Like, we still
I'd
love...
I'd rather like the untracked days, like I'd rather just like fit it into my macros like on a day-to-day basis instead of being like, oh, time to go overboard here and just...
Well, yeah, because everything. The day that you... if you have a day a week where you go overboard and you have an untracked day where you feel like you can just, you know, eat whatever you want, you're gonna feel like crap.
Yeah,
that's just, you know, how it is. But as I was saying, is just start. That is the hardest part. And now we're going to Wisconsin. Actually, we're leaving on Wednesday, so we're recording this on a Monday. This will launch next week for you guys, but so by the time you listen to this, we'll already be in Wisconsin. And we are trying to bring like our food scale and all the things that will help us be successful for when we're in Wisconsin. We're not going to be like crazy, like bring our own food to, you know, family events, like that kind of people.
Like, we're still
going to
eat meals,
but we're going to 80% of the time while we're there, we're going to hold ourselves accountable to, you know, eating more fruits and vegetables, getting in our water, prioritizing protein, doing what we can to control our nutrition while we're there, versus what we usually do when we go back is we eat at Quick Trip like what, 5 days a week?
Yeah.
And then like a bunch of just like fast food and just quick snacks, and like Zach will run to Quick Trip at like 10 o'clock at night and get a bunch of candy and like...
Well, it's just like a convenience thing. Like,
oh, it's so easy for us to do that. And obviously we don't have Quick Trip where we live now. And if you're in the Midwest and you're listening to this, you know that Quick Trip is the goat for snacks and food. So we just have to obviously do this for us, because we know that if we don't go prepared going into this, that we're going to suffer for it. So, as I was saying before, usually when we go back to Wisconsin, we do not adhere to any kind of diet. We eat out a lot. We go to Quick Trip a lot, which if you're from Midwest, you know that Quick Trip is the goat for snacks and food.
The good Quick Trip, too. The one with the K.
The one with the K, yeah. Not the Q. And so, we are doing our best to go prepared this time around. And we are bringing our own food scale. We're probably going to go grocery shopping when we're there to get some fruits, veggies, protein, just some like healthier snack options, so that when we're there, we don't feel tempted to go to any fast food restaurant or Quick Trip to get kind of those calorie dense quick snacks. So we will keep you updated on one of our next podcasts on how we ended up doing that and what helped us stick to our plan while we were there.
Which I feel like a lot of it boils down to is just having some self-control.
And portion like, control.
And like understanding that you have like goals, and you know, the further that you stray from the path that like sets you like, you know, on a good trajectory to achieve those goals, you're going to be better off, like, mm-hmm. in terms of just, like, staying on track. So just...
Well, and I feel like if we would let ourselves go for 12 days in Wisconsin and just have, like, a free-for-all, we'd come back and we'd be... Obviously, the scale would be up. We wouldn't perform our best in the gym. And we would be disappointed in ourselves that we didn't stick to the plan for 12 days, because where could have we been in 12 days had we followed the, mm-hmm. you know, plan that we wanted to for ourselves?
Yeah.
So... we're going to do our best to obviously stick to our training while we're there. We're going to drink our water, prioritize protein, get in some fruits and veggies each day. But we're not going to be the type of people that bring our own meals to like family events, because we do have a lot of family things going on there. And we don't ever want to feel like we're, you know, I don't know.
I just think it's awkward.
Like, yeah, like it's just like weird. We're not like, in a bodybuilding prep or anything. Like prep, yeah. we're still eating a lot of food. Like, we don't have to be like that. So if you know you have to do that for your own goals, go for it. But we want to be able to enjoy meals with our family and not feel like we have to weigh out every single little thing. So just making healthier choices and doing that 80% of the time while we're there will be key to making sure we stick to our plan. So hope that helped. If you are interested in rest days, our current training split, and then also our cut update, we appreciate you guys listening, and we will chat with you next week.